Hi, I'm Lisette Rodriguez.
And I'm Jeremiah Rodriguez.
And this is
Speaking Life Podcast, where we're inspiring hearts
and transforming minds.
All right, so last episode, what did we talk about? We talked about worry, right?
Yeah.
All right, so with that being said, God brought to my mind, and this is something I taught the young adults yesterday, is because we worry so much, we tend to put God in a box.
Wait a minute. Can I interrupt you for a minute?
Of course. Of course.
So we spoke about worry.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night I was worried.
Yo, what were you worried about?
I was just praying about one of your siblings. And I was just asking God to make a way out of no way. And then as I'm going through the motions, I'm actually telling myself, Liz, you literally just spoke about this. So put what you spoke about into practice. And I had to do that.
And how did you do that?
I just started praying to God, and I was up for hours.
So it was one of those that you were up all night.
Yes. I was up all night just praying. And, you know, obviously God needed my attention, so I gave it to him. I'm better now, though.
Thank God.
There's nothing like a good prayer session.
Especially when God's waking you up in the middle of the night. You already know she's going to go to war. She's going to go to war no matter what. So it don't matter what's going to happen. And if God wakes her up, I'll forget about it. It's over. It's a done deal.
But you know it was God, though, because here I am, and I'm not even tired yet.
That is also true. That is true. Actually, I'm genuinely surprised.
Listen, when it's God, when God wants your attention and he's calling you at night to talk to you, listen, it's like I could have been up for hours. I think I must have fell asleep a little bit after your dad left. And I've been up all day, like, doing my normal to-dos, right?
Yeah.
And I've been fine.
Good for you.
No coffee, no extra, no energy drinks, no nothing. So that's how you know
you God. You haven't drank an energy drink.
In a long time.
Wow, good for you.
It's been a minute.
I still struggle, guys. I still struggle.
It's been a minute. I haven't been drinking energy drinks since, yeah.
Good for you. I got to wean off. But
back to the point.
I believe we worry too much because we put God in a box. And what do I mean by that? Like, oftentimes we worry and we tell God what he should do, how he should do it, mm-hmm. and who he should do it through.
And when
he should do it, right? Mm-hmm. So we're putting our own limitations on God. But how do you put limitations on a God who's King of all kings, Lord of all lords, who is bigger than any obstacle we face? Like, how do you do that? How do you put a box on the creator?
I think that's easy. Only because, remember, we're limited in our humanity.
Yeah.
Right? So, in our humanity, since we are so limited, you know, we find ourselves making God smaller than what he really is because we can't really grasp onto his, you know, identity. We can't grasp onto the fullness of who he is. You know, we just see part of it. But David himself said, oh, let us magnify the Lord. How do you magnify something that's already great?
Yeah.
In other words, David was saying that in his human limitations, even he had to put forth the effort to magnify something that was already great. So to answer your question, in our humanity, we put God in a box because we're so limited in understanding.
And I love how you said, like, magnified, right? Because if you take a magnifying glass,
what does it do?
Magnifies it, right?
It makes it bigger.
But it only makes it bigger to your perspective.
Right.
Because you get to direct where the magnifying glass goes. So if you put your magnifying glass on something, on your problems, that's all you see. Of course it's going to be big, but if you put the magnifying glass on God, it changes your perspective.
Right.
Right. So, human limitations are real, right? I think a lot of things go with it as far as like trust, right? When it comes to God, trust, faith, believing, doubt. Doubt's a big one, right? It's kind of like Gideon, right? Gideon, you know, God was talking to Gideon saying, hey, cut your army in half. And Gideon's like, yo, if this is you, do this, that, and the third. I need to see the do right. where it's dry. I need you to make a backflip, you know, make a bunny backflip and stuff like
because
that.
Because it's easy for us to be obedient once we know how it's going to turn out.
Yeah, but not in every case you're going to know how it's going to turn out.
I know, and I know God does that purposely because yeah. that's how he builds your faith.
Yeah.
But, you know, in my humanity, it's like Abraham, right? When God told him, oh, get up and leave your family and go to the land I told you. I would have had a whole list of questions. wait, hold up. So where am I going? And how am I going to get there? And what's going to happen? And how is it going to happen after I get... You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And Abraham legit got up and left. Where are you going, bro?
But at the same token, right? I'm going to play devil's advocate. At the same token, that's valid to have those questions. Right. I feel like it's more on the flip side of like, all right, yeah, have those questions because obviously like any human is going to be like, all right, where am I going? Like you said, like, who am I going with? Who's taking me there? It's more so the fact of like, all right, God promised Abraham this land. What if Abraham's perspective was, nah, that ain't happening. Nope. I like, you gonna tell? Nah, that's not happening.
Time and time again, you see, you know, through Abraham, you see through David, you see through so many stories in the Bible that, you know, they had to take that first step in the land of the unknown.
Yeah.
By just trusting God. And that's where, once again, you know, their faith is developed. And David must have recognized that he wasn't the only one that was having the issue.
That's true.
Because he said, let us.
Yeah.
Right? He said, let us magnify the Lord. In other words, I'm talking to you now, and I noticed that I'm not the only one that has issues with seeing things from a different perspective, but you do too.
Yeah.
So now my prayer is, let us. So what am I trying to say? We in life have to be intentional on taking God out of the box.
Yeah.
We have to be intentional and say what we need to say, like, you know, make the declarations that we need to make, because we have to acknowledge that as humans, we do have limitations.
Yeah.
And we're praying to an unlimited God.
That's
right?
True.
So, you know, I think a lot of that stems from us and, you know, our ability, like you said before, to have a different perspective.
Yeah, but let's segue to, like you said, the fear of the unknown, right? Mm-hmm. I guess in the fear of the unknown, we as humans, we desire control. We want to know the outcome. We want to know everything. We desire control, right? You don't think so? You don't think humans desire control?
Well, it depends, though.
What do you mean it depends?
It depends, because sometimes I like to be led. There's certain things that I'll let your father do, and yeah. I'll legit... just show up on his word. Like, what? Okay. So perfect example. So he's the one that books all the trips. He's the one that does all the paperwork. He's the one that does the passport, da, 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 whatever. So I like it when he leads in that area, right?
Yeah.
Basically, until the day comes, I'm like, what day we going to airport and what time we got to be there? Like, and the night before, you know, I'm like, what time we got to be there? Like, so he's leading and I'm willing to go.
But I wouldn't consider that the unknown, though. I'm more sorry. Well, so let's perspective, right? God tells you, like, hey, Pastor Liz, guess what? You're going to have a mansion, right?
Bless the Lord, yeah, all my soul.
You're going to have a mansion.
And all that is within
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you're going to have a mansion, right? Okay. I believe that firmly, right?
Amen.
God says you have a mansion,
it.
Right?
I receive it.
Now, this is stepping into the unknown because you never lived in a mansion before, right?
Okay.
You never had a mansion before, nor do you know what it costs to have a mansion, right?
Right.
You don't know the controllables. You just know that God said you're going to have it.
Right.
Right? So if I'm in my human nature, well, obviously I'm in my human nature, but my human nature, I'm going to be like, all right, so how am I going to get there? Who's paying for it? At what time am I getting this mansion? Who's moving me in? When do I get to move?
Right.
Right? I feel like when we enter the unknown, and I've dealt with this in my life where I hate it not knowing. Like, that was such a big thing for me, not knowing.
Oh, but God does that purposely.
Ain't nobody trying to hear that at the time, though.
I know, but I'm telling you, been there, done that too many times.
It took me a minute to get over that. Because
I've gotten to the point that when it happens, I'm like, all right, God, what am I supposed to learn that I haven't learned yet?
That's a great perspective, but that wasn't mine.
Especially if you're going through the same thing over and over
yeah.
and over. Like, it's almost like you're driving in a car and you're like, I've been through here before.
Yeah. But I feel like even like being in that like cycle, you're putting God in a box. Why? Because you're just like, well, I don't know the uncontrollables. I don't know anything. So therefore, I don't want you to know anything. Right. Or I don't know how to figure this out. I don't want to give the control to you.
Right.
Right. I think that's where we struggle. We put God in a box and we limit him because we don't have the answers. We don't want God to give us the answers, or we're not even looking for the answers in the right place, if you will. So therefore, we're putting him in a box, limiting him when really he knows the beginning, the middle and the end. So how do we continue to put a box on God who knows everything? Why not come out of the unknown knowing, all right, well, God said this is going to happen, so I'm going to let it rock.
Because in our human nature, you know, we break it down, right? So God got us through this one.
Yeah.
But now what I'm going through is totally different.
Yeah.
So now, you know, I'm going to put God back in this box because this situation, now, if I was in that situation, I would know. But because I'm in this situation, then God gets us out of this. And then we go into the next one and we put him in the box again. It's our human nature. It's our human nature. But at some point, I'm not giving us an excuse, but at some point, I feel like we have to look back and acknowledge the same God that did it before is going to do it again. Yeah. So now that should make us speak different and make us want to break the box. All right, yeah. God, this is all that I can do. I'm acknowledging these are my limitations, but you are a limitless God.
Yeah.
You can do above and beyond more than my heart could ever even imagine. So God, just show up and be you.
That's easier said than done.
After you go through all those experiences, that's the prayer. That's the way you should start. That should have caused you to start verbalizing and changing the way you speak to certain situations.
Okay, devil's advocate again, right?
Okay.
Okay, this is going to be fun. Devil's advocate again. Okay. All right, you're saying that should change you.
Right.
What would you tell a person who's watching, who's going over it again, but he or she has not allowed the situation to change them, to change their response? Because obviously there's that saying, if nothing changes, nothing changes, right? Because you aren't doing anything different. So what would you say to somebody who's still going through the same thing, but it's not having that response?
Well, what's that saying that they say, craziness is doing the same thing insanity, over and over,
expecting different results.
There you go. So if that's you, then obviously you need to stop doing the same thing because obviously it's not working for you. So if I tried one method and I see it's not working, then it would behoove me to try a different method in hopes of being able to obtain the final thing that I'm trying to go after. So I in hindsight, I've learned, I'm not exempt from that. I've done things, you know, the same way and it didn't work. And I tried it again and it didn't work. And I tried it again, you know, but at some point you got to get to that point where you're like, you know what? I learned my lesson. The past couple times I've tried it, it's not working. What am I going to do different this time?
Yeah.
And not necessarily that what you do different is even going to work. But the fact that you're even trying to do something, because you recognize and you acknowledge like this is not working. There has to be another way.
Yeah.
And during all that, believe it or not, I know you don't want to hear it, but God is building endurance. He's building perseverance, you know. God continues to work through us through these situations in life that we call trouble.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, we'll continue to put God into a box until we have gone through so many that now we've become experts, that we have the ability to look back and be like, the same God that delivered, or like the three Hebrew boys, right? Listen, I know because of my past experience, I know that God can deliver me, yeah. But even if he don't.
That part. I think that part's tough, though.
Even if he doesn't. But they acknowledge, I know that he can.
I remember vividly, now that you say, even if he doesn't. And I don't know if we spoke about it in the last episode, or if I was just speaking to you 101. I was talking about how, you know, I was going to get my new car, right? But before I got my new car, I had a 2017 Nissan Altima. There was nothing wrong with it. Everything was perfectly fine. But I decided, because I remember you doing things in faith and dad doing things in faith. I decided to clear out my trunk to make room.
Right.
And I remember as I'm driving to the dealer, I'm telling, you know, I'm praying to God. I'm like, listen, man, I would love to leave here with something. But even if I don't, I'm content if I have this car, or I'm content when I have a new one. Right. But like the Denzel meme, I was like, I'm leaving here with something. So I'm taking something, right? So I was like, I remember, even if he doesn't, I'm still good. But I think that you have to have a certain heart posture to like keep God outside of the box, right? Or let him free, period, to do what he wants to do. Let God be God. And I feel like we struggle with that. I know I've struggled with that in my life, period. But what about, do you think we put boxes on our gift that God gives us?
Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like we tend to do that a lot. Like, I feel like God gives us a gift, and then it's like we look at the gift, and because God knows the end result, he already knows how we're going to use it, how we're going to apply it, this, that, and third. That's phenomenal. But we're sitting here in our human nature like, this is what you gave me? Like, are you sure?
I think sometimes it could be from the perspective, right? Talking about different perspectives. Not being fully confident in the gift. So sometimes it's happened to me as well, where I'll do something and everybody that's watching is like, wow, that was great. And at the same time, I'm talking to myself within, like, what are they talking about? What was so great?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I've had those moments as well. Like, so if you don't believe in the gift that he's given you, that's an easy way to put it in the box, because while it's in the box, it's not exposed.
That's true.
And while it's not exposed, there's no demand being placed on it.
Absolutely.
And if there's no demand being placed on it, then I don't have to show up.
Hey, it's the easy way out, right?
There you go.
It's the easy way out.
So keeping my gift in the box is almost like, I feel like at times I still do that, if I'm going to be honest.
I don't know how, but maybe personally you do. But I don't know how, because I see the gifting. I see the fruit that it bears. But I mean, I don't see that, but maybe that's like a personal thing. Because I feel like, and you and Dad have instilled this in me, like as a leader, you know you can do something better. So you feel like even when you preached, or even when you taught something, and like,
I feel like I could do a lot better.
Yeah. But like, even when you taught something, you know, you don't do it for reaction. You're God's mouthpiece. But you know it hit for the congregation, and they come up to you, blah, blah, blah. Something inside says, nah, that wasn't it. It wasn't it. Like something else. But I like what you said. Like, you know, sometimes we still put the box on our gift.
But our gift in the box.
Our gift in the box, right? I mean, still concealed, right?
Right.
But from the perspective of lack of confidence, from the perspective of thinking we're not enough, fear, right? But I think what ends up happening when you put your box on your gift, what ends up happening is that you become an impersonator, right? And you tend to veer off into something that doesn't belong to you, or you try to be like somebody else, right?
Yeah, but sometimes it could be too, like, you feel that it's not needed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like, you know, even in my perspective, so I'm a preacher, I'm a teacher, right? There's a lot of preachers. There's a lot of teachers.
Yeah.
So sometimes you enter this mentality like, why do I have to do it? There's so many of us. See what I'm saying? So that's easy to put that. I mean, I don't. But I mean, it's easy to have that type of thought and place it inside of a box like, well, I don't got to do it because they do it already. So your father does it already. So.
But you got a different flavor, though. Everybody brings their own flavor to the table.
I know, but a person that's struggling doesn't see it that way.
Of course.
I know. Listen, your father and I are both teachers. We're both preachers. You know, we both, you know, speak. But when it comes to it, we're both so different.
Yeah.
While doing the same thing. But if people don't embrace their uniqueness, then they lose confidence. And then they become people that have identity crisis because, you know, you do it that way, and now I'm trying to do it that way. It's not working. Well, that's because that's not the way you're supposed to do it. Yes, it's the same thing, but it doesn't have to be done the same way.
And I love how you just said, like, embracing your uniqueness. And I feel like everybody struggles with that. We even put a box on that, right? But I feel as if, and this is what I told the young adults, is like, you don't embrace who you are and you try to be somebody else. You try to impersonate somebody else. And then you become a you that God never intended for you to be. Right. So that leaves room for you being an impersonator.
Right.
Right. So now you're becoming a duplicate of somebody else that God, when God made you, he was like, yo, this is a masterpiece. This is dope. Like,
right.
I only need one of you. And guess what? I'm going to make one of them and I'm going to make one of her, one of him. And
well, I teach that in my mentorship, right? So I have this mentorship program for women. It's called Reset Her. And that's one of the things that I teach, you know, the ladies, that I'm so excited to lift up another woman. Like, I love to be, you know, their encourager. I love to affirm them.
I'll be hearing you too. You be hearing her. You hear the passion what she teach.
I love to do it, but it's not because, you know, there's no jealousy, there's no strife, because I understand that they are a unique gift.
Yeah.
And here's what's even better. They're a unique gift, but what if that gift God intended for me?
Yeah.
So I allow myself, and I tell this to my group, my mentorship program all the time, I allow them to inspire me, but I won't duplicate them.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because sometimes God allows us to get inspired so that we can see other things within us that we haven't tapped into yet.
Yeah.
So that inspiration helps us to, you know, hey, let's tap into, you know, it's in there. Let's just tap into it. But there's no need to compete. There's no need to compare, you know. You are unique in your God-given ability, and I am unique in mine. So if we would be able to lift each other up,
yeah,
stay in our own lanes, there's no reason to put our gift in a box. When you know its value, you want it to be exposed, and you want a demand placed on it.
Yeah.
And you want to, you know, put it forward, because in the reality, you know scripture like I do, right? So in reality, what the giftings that God gave us, we benefit from them, but yeah, they're not even for us. They're for others.
Yeah, I think that's the part we forget, that it's for other people. And I was telling the young adults last night, like, your purpose is not just for you. Stop using your assignment like it's just for you. Because we were going over the story of Jonah, right? Where God told Jonah, hey, do me a favor. I need you to go to Nineveh, and I need you to go speak to my people.
Oh, he was mad, though.
He was tight. The Lord was tight, but Jonah was
He was big mad.
Yeah, but Jonah,
I learned that today. He was big mad.
Anyway, Jonah was so mad. Jonah was so mad. He was like, nah, why would I do that? Like, why would I ever do that? You know what I mean? So he ran away. Jonah was really boo-boo. You know that?
Yeah. I was listening to Bishop Kevin Wallace.
I have no idea who that is.
That was his title today.
What?
You're big mad.
And what did he speak about?
People being big mad. That meant.
But Jonah was mad for the wrong reasons, though.
I know. No, he wasn't mad for the wrong reasons. You know, he had issues. He had unresolved issues that he never took care of. So he didn't want them to be saved.
He didn't want them to be saved, but he also put the expectations on God, what he should do, how he should do it, this, that, and the third. Right. So therefore, he was putting God in the box the whole time. And here's what the kicker was.
Because, you know, when people hurt you, you kind of you don't say it. But you want justice.
Yeah, but at the same time, you can have the attitude of, listen, I want to see you eat, just not at my table. I'm okay with that. This
part.
Man did not care. There was none of that. He was not trying to have any place of Nineveh. He didn't care for Nineveh. He was like, you know what? No, I'm going to run away. And you know what?
And look what happened.
He ended up back in Nineveh anyway. But he was boo-boo still.
He ended up smelling like fish.
He ended up smelling like fish. But it was, you know what's crazy? Like, he went to Nineveh petty.
Oh.
That's the crazy part. He went to Nineveh petty. He said, yo, listen, Nineveh.
I got to give him, you know.
Why are you defending him right now?
Because.
What does it matter with you?
It's not defending him, but you got to put yourself in his place. You don't know how he felt.
Well, I mean, actually, I do know how he feels.
Oh, really?
And here's the reason why. Because
are you about to get smelled?
Listen. This woman got jokes today. I don't know. Sorry. I think it's a lack of sleep. I think it's a lack of sleep. Right. Well, here's my point. Right, I can relate to him. Why? Because if you read the book of Jonah from beginning to end, it's four whole chapters. It's more of a reflection of you. It's a mirror. Because at the end of it, you know, God's having a conversation with Nineveh. And God's like, you're upset because he, you know, he put this plant there to give Jonah shade, yada, yada, yada. And Jonah was pissed because God took away the shade by putting a worm. And he's like, you're upset over a plant that you had no business, like you didn't create, you didn't put hands to the plow, no nothing. I put that there. And you're mad about that, but you're not mad about the 120,000 people that I told you to go save.
He ends up wanting things his way, but how many of us do the same thing?
Exactly. That's why I said, hence
we
why
want things our way.
I said Jonah's a reflection story, but honestly, what puts a cherry on top, it's actually more of a reflection question. Because you notice, like, God asked him, like, that question of, you know, like, what, you're not mad? Shouldn't I save the people in the city? And there's no response from Jonah.
Yeah, because he wanted them to go to hell.
Yeah, he wanted them to go to hell, but...
Or saved by somebody, but not him.
Pretty much. But what God was trying to say is, are you okay with me loving your enemies? That was the point. Are you okay with me loving your enemies? Because we got a lot of enemies, right?
Yes,
we got a lot of people where they talk bad about us, so we don't care about them. Or they don't support us, so we want to do that. Or this person in the workplace gets me tight, so blah blah blah. But that same person that irks your nerve, God loves just as much He loves you.
I know, but it's hard to understand.
Nah, it's not hard to understand. If you read His word, it ain't that hard.
I know, but if you don't, let me play devil's advocate.
Well, if you don't, but you know God is all loving. I don't care if you read the word or not. You still have some idea that God loves everybody.
If you don't read the word, you believe that karma comes around and people should get what they get.
Yeah. Therefore, you're putting God in a box because God don't operate like that. Granted, there is a scripture that says you reap what you sow. Right? I'm a firm believer in that. You reap what you sow. But God loves everybody, including your enemy.
He is merciful.
But that whole time, Jonah's trying to put God in a box. Oh, no. I told you the reason why I left the Tarshish is because I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were merciful. I knew you were slow to be angry. But what if he was pissed with him? Meanwhile, Jonah's in the belly praying. He's like, I'm sorry. Yo, I worship you. You know you're right.
Was he though?
Clear. Probably for a split second. And then probably when he got to Nineveh, he probably got mad all over again.
I can't even imagine. I cannot even imagine being in his predicament.
But even that, God gave him a second chance. Who do you know today would get swallowed by a fish and be alive to talk about it?
Nobody.
But still had the...
That has to be a God thing. Like that.
It definitely happen. Is a God thing. And still had the nerve to be mad afterwards. So he had God's word, but didn't have his heart. That's crazy. Had God's word, but didn't have his heart.
Once again, I think, you know, he was in his feelings.
That may not... Get out of your feelings. If you're watching this, get out of your feelings.
That's a word for somebody.
Get out of your feelings. What do you always say? Your feelings are indicators, not dictators. There you go.
You know, and a lot of times people don't do that. You know, your feelings indicate that something is wrong. But quickly, we want to dictate our reaction when we really need to sit back and think, why is it that I feel this way?
Yeah.
Why? Why do I feel this way? Instead, we react. So you hurt me, I react.
Yeah.
Right? I don't sit back to say, like, why did what you just said hurt me? What is it about what you said that triggers something within me?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But yeah, so he didn't have that conversation.
Nope.
With himself. And that's why he was struggling.
And he put God in a box the entire time.
He did. And so he couldn't be boxed anymore.
Yeah, God let him have it, yo. God's so gangster. He'll just ask you questions. No statements. Just ask questions.
I have a mentor that's like that.
I can assume who it is, actually.
Kills me every time. I'm like, look, I'm just looking for answers. But I get the answers by the form of questions. And a question, and a question, and I'm like, can we just get to the point?
Well, it's probably because you're already figuring it out. You're probably already telling them.
I know, but why are you making me work for it?
So you can realize just on your own. Answer. So you can realize on your own.
I know, but when you're really in it.
But when you're really in it, you're putting yourself in a box.
True.
No? The whole point is to keep God out of the box. And if you're going to keep God out of the box, you might as well keep yourself out of the box. You can't keep yourself limited. When there's a box, there's limits.
That's right.
When there's a box on God, there's limits, right? So moral of the story is, do not put God in a box. Let him do what he wants to do in your life, whether it's going to cost you something. And walking this life with God, I promise you, it will cost you something. But it will be worth it. I will say that much. It's going to cost you some, but it's also going to build you in the meantime.
Yes, it will.
It's going to build you in the meantime. It's going to increase your faith, and you're going to see God do exceedingly abundantly.
Your tenacity, yeah. Your strength, your... Listen, you don't know how strong you are until you have to go through a situation that proves to you that you're strong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, honestly, we don't know how strong we are until we have to face a crisis, until we have to face a situation. And when we overcome it, then we're like, oh, I never knew I had that in me.
Yeah, yeah. And you need to change your perspective, too. If you see God as small and that's all he is for you, then that's the God you're going to get. But if you believe God can do exceedingly abundantly and more than we could ever imagine, then that's the God you will also get. So you got to choose. What was that post on Instagram? Choose your hard. Like, it's hard being chunky, but it's also hard going to the gym and, you know, trying to eat right. Choose your hard, right? It's hard staying home and not going to work and not paying bills, but it's also hard going to work, doing it with a spirit of excellence and being like, all right, well, this is going to pay off. And then choose your hard.
And then the other thing is, you know, what you see is what you get. So it reminds me of that story when in the Bible when it says that Jesus went to his hometown. And not that he didn't do any, but he didn't do many miracles. Because when he showed up, those that were familiar with him were like, hey, isn't that Mary's boy?
Putting him in a box already. Mary's boy, title.
Isn't that the carpenter's
son? The carpenter, box, boom.
You know, and like Darius Daniel says, you know, if you see a carpenter, you're going to get your house fixed.
Yeah, that's facts. That's right? Good. That's good.
So
I like that.
Whatever you see, that's what you're going to get.
Absolutely.
So what am I saying? When we put God into a box, our view is limited.
Yeah.
But when we take him out of the box and we expose him, then, you know, the sky is the limit.
Yeah, exactly my point. You know what's funny? I did this with the young adults. Becca helped me. I said, I need 15 items. Just give me 15 items. And we did this thing called pick up and preach.
Pick up and preach.
So you take an item and then you preach based on that item. So like towards the end, she put a basket in a trash bag so that way they couldn't see it. So I'm opening the trash bag. I'm like, see, like this is what it has to look like for you. Letting God out the box. We can't keep God in the box like a genie, like this is
that's
Aladdin,
good.
Right? We can't do, we got to keep it open. I said, 2024, that's all I did. God told me the beginning of the year, do not worry. I was like, okay. I opened up the box and I let God be God. And guess what happened? My wedding was paid off. We got two brand new cars. We got a Jewish couple who bought out our wedding day and they ended up not even using the day and gave us 15 grand. That's all I did.
Wow.
Sometimes you just need to rip open that box and just get rid of it completely. Because God will do more than you can imagine. So I kept on walking around. I was like, oh, go ahead. Tell me what else can happen. And they just kept, this is a blessing after blessing. So you just got to believe and be excited about it.
That is it.
You got to be excited about it. So
and once you expose God, you won't ever want to hide him again.
No, absolutely not. I'm 10 toes down, baby. Let's work.
Let's
I'm rocking this thing like Joseph rocked his robe, baby. I'm ready, yo. I'm ready.
Let's do it. I'm ready with you.
Mm-hmm. So listen, moral of the story is don't keep God in the box, all right? So if you like this episode, hit that notification bell on Spotify. Subscribe to our YouTube channel.
And share.
Share. Definitely share. Share with your family.
Text it to
co-workers,
somebody.
Everybody. Share on
social
every platform.
Social media platforms. Just share it. Let it bless somebody else.
Get people excited to know what we're speaking about and making sure we're serving you the proper way.